listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Hi folks, welcome to a late Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 8th of May, 2022. Sorry for the late start on the show. We had OSM moments, technical gremlins in the system, and they're not completely gone. So, but we did the best we can to get things up and running. So apologies for that. But, we'll see how we get on when we get into the show and get into the interview. Anyway. So, hello to everyone. Hello to everybody on the chat room. Thanks for logging in. Good to see you there. My guest on the show is a lady called Penny Kelly. I had Penny on the show last year. And it's good to a part two of Penny and catch up on a few bits and pieces and things that have been going on in her life and what's going on around the world at the moment with all these energies that are kind of off the scale. If you're watching the Schumann frequency, yesterday was a complete whiteout, and even today was a bit of a whiteout as well. And everybody's feeling it, or most people are anyway. So it's going to be an interesting month of May, I think, with all these energies going around. Anyway, let's crack on and let's get the show on the road. Few things to read out as usual, and then we'll be getting the guest on. But before that, let's find out what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email, contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
Okay, folks, you know the website, circleofwhitelight.com, and you can find us on patreon.com/COWLR. Just to let you know, on Patreon, every Monday, I actually post up a blog as well of my thoughts on the show and a few things I might have come across, or links and things like that that you might be interested in. So if you want to support the show and get access to the blog, I think it's only $5 or €5. That's the minimum amount. If you can afford that, that'd be great, and that will support the show. And obviously some of the funding goes to the Pay It Forward, where we allocate donations to a worthy cause. You know all that anyway. For most people who tune in on a regular basis, you hear me say it every week. You can check it out on the website, all the donations, where they've gone, transparency on that, obviously, which is very important. Okay, so obviously T-shirts available as well, just to throw that in there as well. So, you know, €10 plus postage and packing. Okay, so let's crack on, because we're a few minutes behind, so let's try and catch up. Okay, just a couple of things in the news. As you probably heard, Southampton legend Matt Letizia claims COVID patients gasping for breath were actors. PCR tests were the biggest fraud ever perpetrated on mankind. Images of destruction in Ukraine are falsified and takes aim at Gary Lineker. So Matt Letizia, which is I think he's a football player. I don't know anything about sport, so I assume he's a football player. But apparently he's coming out and he's kind of, you know, exposing a lot of things that are going on in the media, which is good to see. Right, IrishExaminer.com posted this information on their website, which is interesting. On Post, which is our postal service over here in Ireland, is accused of selling economic and marital information of householders to private entities. OnPost has been accused of selling private information about householders, including economic and marital details, to private companies. The Irish Council of Civil Liberties has complained to the Data Protection Commissioner about the sale of GeoDirectory, a subsidiary of an OnPost, of the data which is filtered by individual address and air code. A typical entry on the GeoDirectory database includes records of an address, air code, type of building, year of build, electoral division, and GPS coordinates. the company's GeoPeople database categorizes residents of an address of socioeconomic and marital status, which labels such as affluent city singles, struggling older family, or deprived urban families. Marketing material from GeoDirectory recommends combining the different data sets to build a full profile. The source of the socioeconomic information is unclear. GeoDirectory's website states it is backed by Unpost and Ordnance Survey Ireland and combined the manpower of the former with the cutting-edge technology of the latter to provide you with the most exhaustive data available in the market. The firm's website says GeoPeoples categorises every address in Ireland into five broad neighbourhood clusters, these being affluent, advantaged, striving, struggling and deprived. It then breaks these categories down further to include family information such as affluent empty nesters or struggling families. It adds that each dimension of the data set for sale is based on data points from the National Census. See, if you fill out your census, this is it. Census data is bound as confidential. Yeah, right. And is generally withheld for 100 years. GeoDirectory said it only uses publicly available information, was unaware of a complaint to the DPC, but is happy to engage if required. A spokesperson said it has been corresponding with the ICCL for some months on the matter and denied that the records in question constitute personal data as, they said, no one is identifiable. Even though it's not done on an individual basis with names, it's still information that's telling you about the area and the people in the area. Great for criminals, by the way. You know, oh, there's an affluent area. Let's go to that place there to rob. UCD law professor and chair of Digital Rights Ireland, TJ McIntyre, said of GeoDirectory's activity, the most obvious question is what is the source of the data? So there you go. So your data is being used and sold. One of the things they, I think Kim mentioned about Elon Musk is that his takeover of Twitter. Well, that's fantastic. People think, oh, great, we're going to have freedom of speech. But then again, it's all data gathering and collecting. Maybe he's going to be buying more social media companies and he'll collect all that data for the social credit system or for the credit card system, the communistic credit card system, the credit card scoring system. So if you think that Elon Musk buying Twitter is brownie points for the alt media and people allowing free speech, think again on that one. Okay, EU digital COVID cert extended until June 2023, forcing Irish travellers to be up to date with the jab depending on what country they are travelling to. It was set to expire on June 30th, but the Committee of Civil Liberties, Justice and Home Affairs in the European Parliament voted to endorse a one-year extension of the scheme. So this digital COVID cert, obviously, some countries you go to, you're going to still need it. Yeah, there you go. This is the rollout, the Klaus Schwab, the global reset, and the, you know, you're not going to own anything and be happy. Right, my week. I had an interesting chat with a guy local to me who once had an Army Marine radio license at one point. I think it was a Marine radio license. He was brought to court for non-payment of his TV license. He argued the point that his license was far superior than a TV license as he had to train and pass exams to gain that license. As it was a few years ago, he forgets some of the details, but he had some evidence to prove it and the judge ruled for him and agreed. So since then, he does not have to pay a TV license. Basically, he didn't win the case. It was struck out because if he did win the case, that would have set a precedent and then obviously everybody could refer to it. So what they do in these cases is they strike them out. So nobody wins, but nobody gets fined either. So I emailed the TV license department about this, but I finally got an answer back from a lady there and they said that, no, it's not relevant. And then I told her about the court case and I haven't heard anything back about that. So we'll see. I'll check during the week. So if you think about it, let's say there's 2,000 amateur radio license holders in Ireland, for example. That's €320,000. That's a big chunk of money. So I'm going to be, you know, obviously following up that email, see if they have replied. But you can understand why they wouldn't want to turn around and tell you that if you have an amateur radio license, that it doesn't, you don't have to buy a TV license, because they'd be losing, you know, well, if, as I say, if we take it that there's 2,000 licensed amateurs in Ireland, they'd be losing 320k. And RTE are struggling, and, you know, things are bad enough there. I mean, they turn around and found that money gone as well, they wouldn't be too happy about it. So I'm looking into it anyway. Okay. So let's get my guest on. Penny Kelly is an author, teacher, publisher, consultant, neuropathic physician and researcher of consciousness. Early in her career, she was an engineer of Chrysler Corporation, but left there in 1979 after a full spontaneous awakening of Kundalini to study the brain, consciousness, intelligence, intuition and cognition. This was followed by 18 years of work as an educational consultant specialising in accelerated and brain-compatible teaching and learning, working with both schools and corporations. After purchasing a cranage in 1987, she raised grapes for Welch Food for a dozen years while also building Lily Farm, now a large B&B. She worked with Dr. W.M. Leavengood, biophysicist, for 15 years. Studying materials from crop circles, animal mutilations and extraterrestrial landing sites, as well as researching plasma energy and consciousness. Penny was involved in starting community gardening in Kalamazoo and Battle Creek, MI through grants from the Kellogg Foundation, and she was a member of the Tipping Point Network, whose focus is sustainability in all sectors of life. She maintains a worldwide counselling and coaching practice, teaches a half dozen courses in developing intuition, the gift of consciousness, as well as courses in organic gardening and getting well again naturally. She produces regular videos for Patreon, YouTube, BitChute and travels widely to speak and teach. Penny holds a degree in humanistic studies from Wayne State University and a degree in neuropathic medicine and Clayton College of National Health. She is the mother of four children and has co-written and edited 23 books with others and has written 9 books on her own. Good evening, Penny. How are you?
I'm fine, and it's good to be here.
We had a little bit of a hiccup with the old technology, and I've just kind of turned up your volume as high as I can there so people can hear you. We're just having a microphone issue, but we kind of got there in the end in a roundabout way.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping it's good enough for people to hear. I don't like bad audio myself.
Yeah. No, it's okay. It's just a bit muffled, but I mean, I think we can get through things there. Well, listen, the last time I spoke to you was last year. I think it was around November time. Yeah. And this is kind of just a catch up to see how things are going and what you're seeing from your perspective, because I know you do an awful lot of shows. As you say, you do YouTube, Patreon, BitChute, and you have obviously listeners tuning in and asking questions and everything else. And I just mentioned earlier on about the Schumann frequencies and how high they are at the moment over the last 2 days. So on your scale, or what you've been doing, what's the information you're getting? What are you hearing about these energies and what's happening on a planetary level?
I guess if I had to put it in a nutshell, what I would say is that the energies of the solar system cycle, I think that is something that we should all understand, or at least keep in our back pocket and not get all frightened or freaked out about when they're going up or going down. And what I am watching for right now is if there is a cycle, and if we have an increase in the frequencies, the norm being around 7 hertz cycles per second, and all of a sudden we're up at 12 or 13 or 15 or, you know, whatever, or we have a whiteout like yesterday, what does that tell us about the solar system, about the sun, and about the relationship between sun and earth and the catastrophe cycle that we are now overdue for? And that is something that I think we could stand to learn a lot from, just by watching, okay, as we move closer and closer to the sun doing its normal thing, which it does about every 3,000 years. And there's each of the 3,000 years, there's a little different kind of action between us and the sun. The planet does different things. And so if we are at that place, every 12,000 years, it does something drastic, then wouldn't we normally naturally see an increase in frequencies, because the sun is an electric sun, and if we're tracking frequencies from the sun, you know, my question would be, what is the plus or minus tolerance of that sun in the periods when it's very quiet and very stable versus periods when it is not as quiet, not as stable, and tends to do things like tip the planet, cause the poles to move, or just does an out and out micronova. That's what I think those frequencies are important for. Not because of course they are going to affect us every time. You know, every time they do something, that's going to happen because that's our world. So, you know, here we are trying to apply the limited knowledge we have about the sun and about the energies to ourselves when we really don't know what that means or how to interpret that. But we are overdue for the next action from the sun. And I am thinking more and more that that's why we're seeing those Schumann frequencies go up and down and up and down and up drastically like they did yesterday.
Okay, because obviously we're experiencing a lot of solar flares, CMEs from the sun, and it's really hyperactive. This is kind of above average because we have this 11-year cycle. I know from an amateur radio point of view, there's an 11-year cycle where the sun gets active and the propagation gets good for radio communications and everything else. And we get this cycle at every 11 years. But this cycle, this is really, really active at the moment. And the amount of solar flares being ejected from the sun is quite high. I mean, extremely high. And we are overdue for a Carrington effect. That's what they're saying. Obviously, from the people did the research and go back to 1859, they can read about the Carrington effect and what happened then. But if it happens to us and more, you know, we're facing the sun, depending on what side of the planet, obviously then, and we get hit by that, then it's going to be a serious game changer.
Well, that's true. I think the Carrington event, though, is minor compared to the events that are on record. And those records indicate that there is something much more drastic, that the sun has, sometimes it's called a solar flare, sometimes it's called a solar sneeze, sometimes it's called a micronova, but when it gets to the stage, every 12,068 years, it has this micronova that really has a drastic effect, and it doesn't just start a few telegraph wires on fire and maybe wipe out some of the telecommunications on the side of the planet facing the sun. It's a whole different animal, and it's pretty drastic, and it changes the world drastically. And I think it's a way that solar systems and planets renew themselves, and we are not taught about that. We don't know about that. We don't understand much about that, but that's why people go inside the earth to live for 20, 30, 40 years, because it's not possible to live on the surface. And I don't know how we would get 8 billion people inside the planet, but that's what it would take if everybody was going to survive a micronova, which is it's this massive, not just an EMP, it's a blast of debris. It's a pulse of or wave of energy that moves through the space between the sun and the earth, and it pushes everything in that space at us. And that's dust and debris and rocks and radiation and all kinds of stuff, and it compresses the atmosphere of the Earth dramatically on the side facing the sun. And when that compression happens, there's an increase in temperature that it can go up to 2,000 degrees, and it just fries everything on that side of the planet. And that compression is drastic, and so it blows the atmosphere away, and then the atmosphere on the other side of the planet, away from the sun, does naturally what atmospheres do. It kind of rolls around to fill in the atmosphere that's just been blown away. And when that happens, you get winds that are upwards of 200 miles an hour, and you get a drop in temperature that goes down to minus 80 degrees centigrade, and that's pretty drastic. So a lot of stuff flash frozen.
Okay, so there's a lot of talk about this solar flash, which is supposed to be happening. Some people say it'll happen and it'll just be a flash. And other people say, no, it's just a build-up. It's a cumulative number of flashes of or solar flares that will be classed as a solar flash. But they're saying that this will be a game changer for everybody on the planet. So yeah. Do you buy into that, or have you, obviously, do you have your own opinion on that?
Well, at this point, I have to say that the evidence that we have that it's a game changer every 12,000 years, the ones that happen every 3,000 or every 6,000 years are not as drastic, but we've already had those. And I think the mud floods that have wiped out a lot of Tartaria that's why those mud floods occurred. Massive tsunamis and a lot of deposition of mud in places that weren't wiped out entirely, but a lot of disruption, a lot of death. So there's that evidence. But the evidence of the big micronova is pretty strong. And when you look at the petroglyphs, that's one piece of evidence. Petroglyphs are drawings on cave walls or on rocks that were made by people from 12,000 years ago. And those drawings were always thought to be dancing figures or, like, what are these? What did this mean to those people? Well, then some of the physicists, astrophysicists, of the world, some of the really good ones, started doing research into what would a big plasma strike from the sun look like. And so they did some simulations, and turned out that the shape of that plasma takes in those big strikes is exactly those petroglyphs that were drawn on rocks and stones and cave walls by our ancestors. And so there, that piece of evidence was there. And then there's all of the stories around the planet. Of every culture has their stories of these massive floods. I think the Mexicans or the Mayans, maybe, people down in that part of the world had some of the best stories. They talked about the sun having a period of time, and that sun would be called, I think we're in the time of the fifth sun, and they said that when the fifth sun ends, there's this period of darkness for about 30 years. The sun doesn't shine. Life on the planet is not fun. A lot of people die, and the result is that when the sun finally does begin to shine again and they can see the stars and the dust has cleared, the stars are in a different position. And they talk about that as the birth of the sixth sun or the fourth sun or the third sun or whatever sun they happen to be referring to. So we, I think, are either in the time of the fifth sun heading into the sixth, or we're in the sixth heading into the seventh. But that's what that whole mythology is about. So, excuse me. So there's all of that evidence, And then there is, and I've been researching this for the last few months. I got a hold of a book, actually it was a class that I'm teaching called The Language of Energy. And one day, you know how you have these flashes, you know, of like, I wonder if
yeah.
the language of energy is really related to some of this mythology. I was looking at some mythology, and I decided to check it out. And so I ended up getting a book, several books, but the main one that I'm working on right now is called Hamlet's Mill. It's a rough book to read. You know, I have a big vocabulary, but I have to have a dictionary right there because there's a couple words on every page that I think, what the heck does that mean?
Mm.
And so I started reading this, and the font is terrible. I swear it's like 6 points. And so you almost need a magnifying glass to read the darn thing. And the pagination is off. I think somebody just dumped some, you know, some text onto the page without formatting it or anything. But long story short, what this book details is all of the myths from every single country, every single culture, from way back, ancient times, all the way to Shakespeare and his story of Hamlet's Mill. All of those are referring to this event that happens on the planet that just destroys everything. And so what you realize is that Hamlet is a word that comes from a word, an ancient word called A-M-L-O-D-H. Or I think it's something like that. I might be off, you know, a letter or two, but that word means the dupes who believe they are getting somewhere and they don't recognize the planet as the mill that will crush them, that will destroy their money, their gold, their wealth, their lifestyle, everything. And so they ignore what's happening in reality, which is with the planet and the sun and the moon and the stars and all of that. And they just build their little kingdoms and then the mill starts to turn. And that story has been repeated. I don't care if you're talking about the Chinese or the Finnish or the Danish or the English or the people down in South America. That story is repeated with almost the same characters in almost the same kinds of series of events that occur, and boom, the whole thing is wiped out. And so it's pretty chilling, it's pretty interesting, it's pretty shocking, and it says, you know, in almost all of the stories, you need to prepare. And so here we are, so busy with what's happening with all of the I don't know, what words can we use here and not get bumped off over the internet?
No, you don't have to worry about that. I don't put it on YouTube, so you can say whatever you want.
Okay, so here we are worrying about the fake coronavirus and the vaccine, which is not fake at all, but is really dangerous, and all of the other political stuff, and now we have this war going on, and that's all a huge distraction. Because that micronova is due, and the governments of the world fully expect that to appear somewhere by 2030 to 2040.
Well, and there's a lot of talk on 2030 at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. And I'm pretty sure that we will see signs of that before the actual burst of the micronova. And I think, I wonder, and I don't have any firm answers, but I wonder if what we're seeing in terms of the Schumann residence is really one of the early warm-ups for that burst that just gets, it builds energy in the system. And then then all of a sudden blows. And I think, you know, from a spiritual point of view, you could say that there's a huge increase in the amount of energy in the atmosphere. Some people are saying we just have to get ourselves ready. We just need to be ready to move into the fourth or the fifth dimension, and we're going to have a Kundalini upgrade, kaboom.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the whole planet, and we'll all be in another dimension, which is actually another frequency range. And other people say, no, it's, you know, going to destroy everything. And so there's, but I think the governments of the world have dug massive tunnels and underground cities for all sorts of purposes. But the main purpose is to go down there in order to survive. So if you're on the surface, it's, I don't know that the people on the surface would be able to survive.
Well,
it's just fun.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, for people who are saying, well, listen, I'm going to stock up and have food for a few months and stuff. If you're talking about 30 years for the birth of the sixth son, people aren't going to stock up for, number one, for 30 years. Number two, if it's bad on the surface of the earth, then they're not going to survive anyway.
That's true. And all of those old tunnels and old underground cities that have been discovered, the perennial question from archaeologists is, why were people down here? What were they thinking? Why were they living down here? And that, I think, is why they needed to be.
Yeah.
So it was too rough on the surface.
But, you know, if this has happened before, because we do believe that the earth has obviously been recycled a number of times, probably 3, 4, 5 times, and they start again. And what I've read is that this is the last time it's going to happen. It's not going to happen again. There's not going to be a recycling. But at the end of the day, I don't know. I mean, I just find it that we spend all this time, humanity spends all this time trying to develop and grow and everything else for one event, solar event, to kind of wreak havoc on the planet, and then that's it. It just, to me, doesn't make sense. It, maybe because I'm looking at it from a spiritual point of view, but it doesn't make sense to me, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that you can say, when you're talking about cycles within the solar system, this is the last time. That doesn't make sense. If the planet and the sun and the solar system have a means of continuous renewal that occurs, and that happens every 12,000 years in a very drastic manner, then what's the message to the people? It's, you have 12,000 years to get your bricks in a pile and build a self that is ready to move into the next dimension of existence. Whether you want to call that death or ascension or something else, you have 12,000 years. You have 12,000 years if you want to continue to live on the earth, to build the kind of technology that can take the place of the sun, that can still grow crops inside something, that can provide heat and air conditioning and all of those kinds of things, provide the energy that we need to live the kinds of lives that we're comfortable living. And that has been held back from us. We have not been able to implement a lot of the technology that's been discovered. And there's a lot of patents that are filed every year, have been for the last 100 years, that are just taken over by the patent office and the authorities, who say, nope, you are not going to be allowed to produce that. And if you even talk about it or try to publish about it, we will take you out. So, or we will take out your wife or your child or whatever. And so people have been frightened into silence. And a lot of the technology that is available to people who have a different authority level, or people who have a different kind of connection to authorities, they have access to all of that. We don't. Mm. So here we are. And, you know, we have a huge amount of disruption going on just with the whole COVID thing and all kinds of stories happening about that. And I think nobody really understands what has happened and has been happening for the last, I'm going to say since 1979, 1975, somewhere in there. When you look at the old research that was started in the U.S. and part of the biowarfare program, and what that, when you look at the, and understand the things that they used to create this condition called a mycoplasma. A mycoplasma is spelled M-Y-C-O-P-L-A-S-M-A. And that, when you look at what that mycoplasma does, I think, I'll just say a couple of things that are a little more involved about that. They took brucellosis, which is bovine tuberculosis, and they married that to what's called a Vizsna virus. And a Vizsna virus is part of a family of viruses called lentiviruses, which means they get infected, but the symptoms and the problem doesn't show up for 10, 20, even 30 years. So they married these two things together, this bacteria and this virus. And then from that, they extracted a living form called a mycoplasma. And that mycoplasma has no cell walls. So it can't be seen on a blood test or hardly any of the other tests. It doesn't show up. But that mycoplasma gets in you and it starts to replicate. And depending on whether that on the strength of that mycoplasma, and whether the strength of it is 10 to the 10 or 10 to the 9 or 10 to the 8 or 10 to the 7th power, you get different effects. 10 to the 10th is AIDS. 10 to the 7th, you just get this like chronic fatigue syndrome, etc. And then there's other stuff that happens in between there. Mm. So, you know, or maybe it's 10 to the 8 gets fibromyalgia, and 10 to the 7th gets a wasting disease, also known as mad cow. And so all of that was sprayed, spread, injected everywhere around the planet. And I think they got in a hurry and thought maybe it's not working fast enough. And so they decided they had to have some other thing to stress the body enough to cause the mycoplasma to go into action. Because if you're not stressed, your body will kind of deal with it. But if you get stressed, then all of a sudden, the results are astounding. Oh my gosh. You get cancers, you get AIDS, you get multiple sclerosis, Huntington's, Parkinson's, you get Alzheimer's, you get diabetes, you get chronic fatigue, Lyme disease. All of these are dependent on where the mycoplasma becomes the most active in the system. And so here we are. 20, 30, 40 years later, the whole population of the world is falling apart and they're blaming it on everything. And so here we are trying to say, well, it's this or it's that, or it's this COVID thing. The COVID thing, coronavirus is the common cold and it's been around for forever. And so they just took that and made it into a big, hoopla, oh my gosh. And I think there's some other aspect of it as well. The PCR test, when you spread this mycoplasma, it will then begin to replicate in the body. And when a disease symptom shows up, you can do a PCR test, and if you run it enough times, it will tell you what strength that mycoplasma was at. Was it 10 to the 9th, 10 to the 7th, you know, 10 to the 8th, or something less, and what disease it is producing. And I think that's why they were using the PCR test, is that they were tracking their success and trying to keep tabs on how well their program was working to remove a lot of population. And so, because it really, the way they were using it was for tracking purposes. The PCR was not a test to see did you have COVID. It was to see which one of these mycoplasmas had its effect on you.
Yeah. And tell me, where do you think we're at the moment globally with the elites and the deep state? Because obviously I listen to Kim, as I'm sure you do, and Kim will tell us what's going on from her perspective. And then other people will be talking about, you know, the whole Klaus Schwab reset, and you won't own anything. It'll be, you know, you'll be happy. We see on a lower level, we see these minions running around doing what they're doing, the lower level minions in the government, not the high level people that Kim talks about. What do you feel is taking place?
I think there's a number of things that are happening, and we as a population have this habit, which I think we got from our education system, that there's only one right answer. And so we keep, if it's a medical problem, we're looking for the one thing that will end the problem. So we don't get better because you have to do a whole complex of things in order to heal. It's the same thing with political stuff or financial stuff or education or whatever. We are looking for what's the one right answer. And it's a whole bunch of answers. And one of the things about psychopaths, sociopaths, people that have personality disorder, is that they're not able at all to assess whether or not their chances are good or bad. They just keep driving towards something. And so what I see is that there's a whole bunch of what I'll call lower level sociopaths that are trying to get, it's kind of like gang members. They're just trying to get as much territory under their control as they can, with the idea that they're going to run things and they'll hook up with whoever other strong men happen to arise, and they'll make things work the way they want it to work. Well, I don't see that working for them. And I think what we're going to see as we get into next year is a huge revolution, global World War III kind of revolution against national governments, who are going to be the scapegoats for all those elites. So,
yeah, I mean, it just, you know, you probably, like me, have been doing this a long time, as have a number of people listening to the show and on the chat room. And you just kind of get fed up with it. And you just think, look, just press the button and either bring us to the fifth dimension, or else just let the micronova happen and then we can move on. But either way, this kind of dragging on and dragging on and dragging on, it just gets tiring, you know, over time it gets tiring. And you just say, look, I don't know how people today cannot see through the BS that's going on at the moment.
I blow my mind every time I listen to some people who don't see it. They don't see the manipulation, or they don't want to see. They don't look at things in terms of personal responsibility. They look at it in terms of who's out there taking care of me? Who's taking responsibility for this? They want the old world that they were comfortable in to continue. And they don't see how people are suffering, and they don't care as long as they aren't suffering. So what I see is that there's going to be a lot of people who just get really, really angry and go after a lot of those local elites. The other thing is that other people are just going to walk away. They're just going to say, nope, I'm not part of that. I'm not doing that. I'm not having that. And the what I'll call the second walk away movement is going to occur. And that's going to raise a whole lot of challenges in terms of what are we doing with the with our finances. Who has the right to issue money? What are we doing with our medical system? Who has the right to actually do healing or to educate or whatever, to, you know, form local political groups that are outside all of the old system? And the whole new systems, whole new communities are going to grow up around those kinds of concepts.
Yeah, I think the whole idea, I mean, Kim has been obviously talking about it for a while, the Global Restoration Plan. And people will probably just start doing their own thing and just stay away from the mainstream system, the main system, and just do their own thing. And just say, look, I'm not tying into that system anymore. And maybe that's going to be the start. It's the gap between us having that and the gap between the old system, the space between them two, the old system and the new system. That's where we have to kind of fill. And that's probably where it's going to get a bit troublesome, maybe, in between that transition. I don't know. I mean, as I say, we've been doing this a very long time. And the elites, for the people to get upset about the local elites and have a go, I just think that, you know, giving them the green flag to bring in martial law, if, you know, local politicians or local administrators are actually, under attack by people. And you can understand people getting frustrated and annoyed and angry at this, because when they find out that they've been played for years and they've been lied to for years, then obviously that upsets everybody, especially when you have a family member or somebody close to them or something that died and they didn't need to because it was all based on lies.
Right.
So that's when people will obviously get angry. And but the trouble is, I think that plays into them, their court, really, because then they didn't turn around and say, well, there's too much violence out there and such have been threatened, so we have to bring in martial law. And then that kind of suits them. So we have to be obviously careful of that as well.
I think that's really true. And I think what that gap, I've been thinking about that for really quite a long time. And it's the people who want the old way are people who really want to have a political mama and papa and have everything taken care of and handled so they can just go about doing whatever they want to do. If those people are one side, and then the other side is people who want to move on, new systems, new everything, there's going to come this point at which the people who are moving forward are going to have to say to themselves, either we get rid of those people who don't want to go along with us, or we take care of them for the time, for as long as they last. And so there's this period of I think we're going to be tested in terms of how much spiritual juice have you stored, how much generosity and care, and how willing are you to help take care of those people who are just, their system isn't working, and they're angry, and they're this, and they're that. What is it they want? Can you even go ask?
Well, the problem is we have the nanny state, and we have people, people know, you know, I've mentioned it on the show before, I talk about the child mind and the adult mind, and the nanny state are the people that have a child mind, because I applied the question. I actually asked somebody a few years ago, I mentioned this on the show before, and I said to, this was kind of a teaser to this individual, and I said, well, listen, we don't need a law to say, you know, a non-drinking law. We don't need that. And she said to me, of course we need a law to say you can't drink and drive. If we didn't have that, loads of people would be doing it. And I said to her, so what you're, I said, this is what I said. I said, so what you're saying is you're incapable of being an adult and making an adult decision, knowing that drinking and driving is a bad idea, that you could hurt yourself and hurt somebody else, and as a responsible adult, you wouldn't do that. But what you're saying is that you can't take that choice. You're not being responsible. You need to give it to the nanny state to bring in a law to tell you not to do something because you're incapable as an adult to actually work that out for yourself. And she kind of looked at me, you know, and then she kind of started coming out, oh, no, we all need a law. You know, it's just some people just don't get it, you know.
I think that's true. And I would add that if your people around you are taking care, if they care, they're going to say, I'll drive you. I'll take you home. You know, I'll go out of my way. Why aren't we doing that instead of passing all these laws that haven't really stopped drunk driving? And really, there's still accidents. People still get hurt. People still get killed. So there's been just a plethora of laws that have been set in place that are, most of them are contradictory to themselves. So it doesn't make sense.
Well, do you notice that they make the laws and they make them to be at the lowest common denominator?
Yeah.
So somebody could say driving, right, for example. Now, I might be, you know, an okay driver because I have certain experiences in driving, not just being a driving car, but an ex-biker. And obviously, I've done a lot of kind of driving and go-karting and all that kind of stuff. So, I've done a good bit of driving. And then you have, you know, driving Mrs. Daisy, who are the people that just get in the car on Sunday and they drive at 20 miles an hour and they're a bloody hazard on the road. But but they create the law for that person, and because of them being incapable of being a good driver or not having the skills, they judge me by that person. See, and this is again the nanny state. So we get penalized as adults for, you know, obviously being, you know, not just good drivers but have an adult mind and doing the right thing because of the child mind nanny state system. And that's what kind of annoys me, because it's they just have a they just set the system, set the bar to the nanny state for child minds, and that's it. And they don't take into account that, well, there are people out there that actually have an adult mind and they don't need to be as controlled as that person there, you know, because they are responsible adults. But they don't take that into account. It's just, it's a right across the board, nanny state, child mind, that's it. And everybody gets tarred with the same brush.
Yeah. You know, I have to ask you something. What do you think about the idea that all cars have to be electric cars, that they're driving toward by 2025? I think California wants to have no sales of gasoline powered engines, cars. And by 2030, they wanted to remove all gas-powered cars from the road. And what I see is that we're moving toward cars that move through the air, vehicles that move through the air. And that would be disastrous if you were drinking and you were trying to fly and you flew too low and hit a tree or something. But that, you know, how would that apply if we get all bent out of shape about cars? Can we dredge up the energy to see beyond the car to what else could we do in terms of making, making transportation available, personal transportation as well as, mass or group transportation? And what might that look like? And how might that unfold as we move into the future? Because it looks like it's coming.
Yeah, well, I've kind of been looking into the electric cars, funny enough. So it's a good question to raise. I've been looking into it over here in Ireland anyway. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't even attempt to look at electric car for another 20 years in Ireland. We don't have the infrastructure. But what's happening over here in Ireland, and I mentioned that last week on the show, in a lot of countries around the world, you can sell, using a thing called a grid tie inverter, you can sell your energy back to the electricity company and you can cut down on your electricity bill. That's the idea, right? Now, we couldn't do that in Ireland up until February of this year, because what's happening over here in Ireland is that we have these massive data centres. You see, the corporation taxes Ireland in Ireland is very low. Across, and the Europeans don't like it because Ireland is like a Cayman Islands, you know, an offshore banking and all that. And a lot of companies, international companies, come over here, like, you know, Google and Facebook and eBay and all these. So they come over. So they're currently building these massive data centers, which is sucking all the power from our grid. And they want to bring in electric cars. They don't have the infrastructure for it. So all of a sudden, the government said, we're going to need more power. I'll tell you what we'll do. What we'll do is we'll let people set up their solar panels on their house and we'll get the energy from their house. Now, not only will they be paying you peanuts for that, but they can monitor your usage and everything else, and they'll have control with their smart meters, and they'll be able to shut you off if you're using too much power. On the electric cars, the principles will be the same. You'll have an electric car. They can tap into your electric car. And if you don't pay your bills, or you're not a good social credit person, or you did the wrong thing, they'll shut off your credit card. They'll shut off your electric car. And you won't be able to drive, go to work until you behave and be a good person. Now, as for the flying cars, well, Elon Musk is already doing the Tesla automatic pilotless driving. So you can get in your Tesla car and you can actually, the car will drive itself. I was watching that during the week. So when it comes to people being drunk and like the Knight Rider solution, get in the car and the car brings you home, I think that won't be allowed, because the idea is that you should be still compensated even if the car is driving, because if that happens, you need to be aware. So I don't think that's going to wash. As for flying cars, well, there's a number of companies around the world that have developing this technology. One of the early companies is a company called Molar International, and they had the flying car solution, 2-seater and 4-seater. But there's a number of companies now that have developed flying car technology, and I think there's one or two companies in the States getting FCC approval to do that, and all you need is a pilot's license to do it. So. Wow. I think the technology is out there. I think we will be looking at it. I'm not convinced. I think, you know, I interviewed a chap years ago called Ralph Ring, who was. Yeah, I don't know. You probably know Ralph Ring. I interviewed Ralph, and he said he was building anti-gravitational crafts in the 50s until he was shut down by the FBI or CIA. So we do have that technology, but they're not going to release it. And I think the whole idea of the fossil fuels, you know, I mean, the whole idea of oil. Now, the petrol companies know that we have to move away from oil eventually. It's going to happen. So what they're doing is they're probably moving their chess pieces to buy over electric companies or battery manufacturers or whatever. So when the switch takes place, they still have a foothold in some kind of energy, you know. And that's kind of my kind of, I can go into more detail, but basically that's the gist of it.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, it's very interesting, that whole question of the cars and flying cars and, you know, the laws and alcohol, all that stuff. The question that I have for almost everything that I hear is, as consciousness changes, what will that become? Or how will that argument slow down the evolution of consciousness? I don't know how we're going to deal with this, but the idea, let's go back to the idea of a gap. As we move forward, some people are always going to be way out there in front. They're the scientists and the engineers and the people who are doing things that are astounding, that other people either don't understand or can't see how that could be applied or whatever, until finally something comes for sale. And then we have this gap. So the gap is between what kind of rules do we need in place in order to handle this new technology, and what do we need to have in place in terms of the old technology. And I think that's going to become a major stumbling point as we move into the future. That whole idea of, do we really need to still have these laws on the books when we don't use that technology anymore, when we don't use that energy source anymore, et cetera, when we don't build our houses or our communities in those configurations anymore, what sorts of rules do we need? And I agree with you, we don't need more nanny state stuff.
We all have to get, in my opinion, I just always bring it back to psychology. And, you know, regardless of what's happening on the outside regarding electric cars and energy and all that kind of stuff, humanity has to grow. Humanity has to get to the stage where we all have adult minds, which is humility and wisdom. And if everybody had an adult mind, then the world and society would just be a phenomenal place to be in, because you are talking about no egos and just humility and wisdom, and everybody would be treating each other with respect, to be service to others and everything else. I know that's a kind of utopian idea of society, but that's where we kind of need to go to. But I don't think, you know, this is why I say to people, I don't think mankind or humanity is going to be capable of sorting their own problem out, because there's too many equations involved with different people and personalities and people in control. I think whatever happens has to come from a celestial point of view to affect the planet, whether that is the energies changing and we all of a sudden we get an energy upgrade and we all have these abilities and we don't need to have a flying car because we can fly ourselves. I don't know, I'm only kind of guessing. But I don't think humanity will solve the problem, because if we do, it's going to take another 100 to 200 years to get even close to have everybody on the same hymn sheet as to an adult mind. And you know, like, it's like, think of a neighborhood that has a very bad element in it. You can't improve that neighborhood until you remove the bad element. Even if there's one or two left, there's no good. You have to get rid of all of them, and then you improve the neighborhood. So Earth as a neighborhood, until we get rid of the bad element, then I can't see us moving on from there.
Yeah, I think that that's going to be the fly in the soup. If you have a whole population of people that aren't paying attention to what's really going on, that really don't care what's really going on, and that really don't have the capacity because they've been educated or brought up or programmed or whatever you want to call it, to settle for the least amount of insight, the least amount of power, the least amount of wisdom, the least amount of grace, which is an energy thing. Grace is the ability to work with the energies in which way they're already going. Then, you know, what are our options? That's where we lose a lot of people, and that's what's really sad. I think the people who are awake and who are paying attention, even to like the issues with Ukraine, Russia, Ukraine. I listen to a lot of people, and these people here over here have this idea, and this is why this fight is going on. And then there's people over here have that idea, and they say, no, that's, you know, Putin is the demon. Others are saying, hey, you know what, he gave us fair warning, and then NATO and Biden did this, that, and whatever, and whatever, you know. It just, the argument takes away from, you know, okay, what do we do in the meantime?
Yeah.
And we never get there. We never get to that point of examining what else could we, how could we effect peace? How could we get to a place where we really understand and maybe help diffuse the situation, and I think your point about getting rid of all the bad people in the neighborhood, that's a big point.
Definitely, it's a big point. And I think that we have to clean it up. You know, at the end of the day, Dolores Cannon said, you know, you have to clean up the dirt, you have to see the dirt. And what we're seeing now is a lot of the dirt that's coming up, and that needs to be cleared. How we move forward from that. We have a few questions, by the way, that I need to ask you from the chat room, so we'll go off to them shortly. But so we need to kind of tidy up the neighbourhood, and that needs to be all done. And maybe what we're trying to do and what Kim's trying to do and her team is the Global Restoration Plan is to get things started. You know, but Sigmund Freud apparently made a very good observation, and he said that most people don't want responsibility, because responsibility means owning up and saying, yeah, that was my fault. I was responsible for that. They like to play the victim card, the victim mentality, and blame everybody else. And again, that's an ego child mind thing. So we go back again to the psychology of, you know, and the people who we're dealing with. And I will always kind of go to the psychology rather than the content, because you can argue all night about the content. But if you look at the psychology, then you can kind of get into the person's head and go, okay, well, you know, that's where you're at, because that's this, your actions and your words, but more so your actions dictate that's where you're at. So that's kind of my approach. I'm going to quickly say to Phyllis on the chat room, yes, we didn't mention water-powered cars and HHO, Brown's gas. But the water-powered cars, again, a possibility. I think magnetic motors might be the way. But look, they have the advanced technology. They have the patents for advanced technology for cars that won't need anything, literally nothing, no water, no fuel, no batteries. But they won't release it for the obvious reasons, because they want to make money. The same what happened with Tesla and JP Morgan with the Wardour Tower. You know, when he said, I want to give the power away for free, JP Morgan probably nearly had a heart attack. He goes, no, I'm not giving away for free. And the tower didn't happen. But they have the technology out there, the free energy technologies, or, you know, that's a point of reference, by the way, just in case people get anal about it. But I have a couple of questions from the chat room, Penny. So I'm going to go off to the questions here. Phyllis wants to know, question, I heard somewhere that the Grand Canyon was made by a huge solar flare. Does Penny know anything about this?
I don't really know anything about that, but I do have this vision that I've had on and off over the last 30 years, and that was that there was some sort of massive cataclysm, and that that caused the Earth to split right there, come apart, and then come back together. So for whatever that sort of be like, I don't know, I don't have a good example of a good metaphor for that, but when we get into if you really look at the plate dynamics that happen, it's very possible that the plasma, that there could have been a plasma strike. But what happens in a plasma strike that would open up the Earth is that it turns everything that it hits. That plasma turns everything into, I think it's a silica. Like it turns it into a glass. It glassifies whatever the soil is. Doesn't matter what kind of soil it was, it becomes glass. And that's from those very, very high levels of plasma. I have never heard that there's that kind of glassification, if I can call it that, in the Grand Canyon. The other thing is that I often look at there's an area in the northwest of the United States, and I forget what it's called, but it's an area where if you look at the landscape, you can see that landscape was shaped by massive, massive amounts of water rolling across the landscape. And that's the other thing that I see, is that once that crack was formed, in which the United States, North America, started to come apart. And all of a sudden, you know, it didn't come apart all the way, but it was left with this crack. But then massive, massive amounts of water were traveling down that Grand Canyon. And here we are. We have a beautiful Grand Canyon nowadays.
Well, apparently there's sections of the Grand Canyon which are, obviously, they're not allowed. People aren't allowed to go in on the tourist track to them because They apparently found pyramids there.
Not only pyramids, but gold. A lot of gold. And they don't want people getting in there knowing that.
Right, okay. That's interesting. Okay, Jim wants to know, what is Penny's take on reincarnation? Do you have a higher self, soul, consciousness overseeing our physical 3D body?
Oh, Jim, that's a big question there. My take on reincarnation is that absolutely we come back again and again. When you come to a 3D dimension, you're typically looking for being forced into a core change that you haven't been able to make on your own. And that core change makes you different from the inside out. And so people come back here over and over until they get the core change that they were after. So that's one thing. In terms of the how often we come back, some people come back a lot. Some people come back a little. When I say a lot, they will have had 200, 300 lives over a 12,000-year span. Some people go to other dimensions, planets in not only in this solar system but in other solar systems where they have similar kinds of life, lifestyle and ways of doing things. It's amazing actually when you go to other places how many places are similar. Their basics are similar. They grow food, they raise children, they struggle to produce excellent technology. They deal with teaching in a way that is very different from what we do here. But they have a whole different aspect, that, you know, those create core awarenesses in individuals who then when they come here, you can't tell them there's no such thing as ETs because they know because that exists in their past. And so there's, lot of reasons that people come back. They're usually trying to work on some specific set of characteristics that will move them up in terms of their frequency and their consciousness.
And I think that's where we have to be. I think if everybody started to do that and started to wake up of who they are, I've kind of put it down to three kind of levels. First, you're in the matrix and you're in the system. And then you become aware of, you know, the system and the cabal, deep state and everything else. And then you become self-aware of who you are from a spiritual nature and your job here and your role here and why you've come down here. Now, the problem is that sometimes people move out of the matrix and go straight to being self-aware, which is kind of great. But the trouble is that you came down here to do a role and do whatever you need to do in this life. And if you have skipped the awareness of the deep state and why you're here and you just went into the self-awareness, then that means that you're kind of missing the step because you're doing the self-awareness spiritual side, but you're not really, you probably don't even know why you're doing it. You're just doing it maybe because you like it, but not realizing that you're doing it because that's something that you have to do to help yourself and help others to find their spiritual awareness and find out who they are and their path back to source as a particle of source. And that's just my kind of take on it.
I think that's pretty accurate. The development process, the human development, I think 99% of the people on the planet are suffering from arrested development, and we have to restart that again. You have to, and that is the process. You know, you get into what you call the matrix, and then at some point, that in ancient times, the matrix was called the Great Satan. Mm. And then at some point, you step out of that and say, wait a minute, what's going on here? What is this about? And then you start to question, and you start to look, and you start to think, and you start to learn. And then you get into what I call the later stages of development, and that's when you begin to exercise your power. that, you know, you mentioned earlier, people don't want responsibility. Why? Because they've never been told that you don't get any power unless you take responsibility. And why were they never told that? Because nobody wants us to have power. And if you want power, you have to just kind of take it in and then start to use it. And it's, you know, nobody's going to give you permission. Nobody's going to hand you a plaque. Nobody's going to give you an attaboy. Most people are going to argue or struggle with you, especially those in your family who don't know how to think about what you are doing and saying and how your life is unfolding. And so it's very problematic for a lot of people. But once you get through those stages, there's like actually 7 or 8 stages. Once you get through them all, you are in a place where you understand the nature of reality and you have some power and you know how to use it and when to use it.
That's it. Somebody asked me there, a local person asked me about how I kind of deal with the day-to-day stuff and what's going on the planet and the world and everything else. And I said, well, I said the spiritual side helps me. And the whole idea of, you know, what's the meaning of life? Why are we here? And what's our role here? And when you kind of get into that and start researching and analyzing it, you can kind of disconnect yourself to a certain extent. Not, you know, I'm not saying completely emotionally from a psychopathic point of view, but you can kind of justify it and apply some logic to it. And by doing that, you can kind of have a kind of peace of mind. When certain things happen, you can go, okay, well, this is why we're here and this is the meaning of life and this is reincarnation and we're here to learn lessons and, you know, and this is everybody's individual journey. And, you know, and once you kind of analyze it and you apply logic to it, it kind of gives you a bit of peace of mind. It takes away a little bit of the fear and anxiety and the stress that, you know, with things going on around you. And it's like, you just have a kind of outside perspective looking in. And
there's a name for that. It's called detachment. And it's one of the things that the gurus of ancient times teach is absolutely necessary if you're going to get to some clarity. You have to have a certain amount of detachment. You can't be hooked by every darn thing that happens.
Do you think that the word detachment is a bit, it's a bit, I don't know, it's a bit harsh, detachment? Would there not be a better word than that?
No, not really, because it is a bit harsh.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, it feels like and looks like you don't care about anything.
Yeah.
When you stop caring about everything, you begin to identify what is worth caring about, what kind of care you hold, what kind of care you will exercise. And that, when you stop caring, that means you stop caring about everything, and then you add back in the things that are yours to care about and to do.
Right, okay. Well, that kind of makes sense, all right. So you focus on the things then. When you remove everything, then you can pick what you really are supposed to care about and then you focus on them.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good answer. Okay, another question from Joan on the chat room. And Joan wants to know, if the young people believe everything is going to end badly, the outcome would be mass suicide. What do you think?
No, I don't think so. But is there more to that?
Joan.
Is there more? Just Joan. Okay. Yeah. Joan, that is something that a lot of people bring up, like we're all going to be struck by hopelessness. But I don't think that that is the best option, number one. Number two, I think that if we develop our consciousness to a certain level, then if this system here ends, then we would be able to step right into the next one. There is no such thing as death, unless you call death the period or the effort it takes to get out of one system and into the next. And every single night you go to bed, you go to sleep, you leave the body, you have experiences in other reality systems that you think are just dreams. And then you come back to this system in the morning, wake up like there's nothing to it. So that process is almost identical to what happens from lifetime to lifetime. And it's really, there's a couple of things I say to people. Number one, don't wait until you are dead to assess what did you accomplish in the life you just had. Start that process of assessment before you die, before you get sick, before you get old. That is something that should be ongoing constantly. So that's the first thing. When you know what you learned and what you accomplished and what you struggled with and where your gifts were, then the result of that is you begin to formulate some kind of, it's a mostly an informal process, but that informal process is very powerful because it then leaves you in a place where you're ready for some kind of change or shift. And if we think that the reality system that we have, let's say at 7.8 hertz or cycles per second, which is what the Earth operates at in our three-dimensional reality, if we can shift that up to 23.4 cycles per second or something similar, then we can step right into that frequency and just keep on going. And some of the material structures that are benign will still be there. And you can go up even after death and you go to the way station. I call it the way station. It's a place where people go in between lives when they're getting ready to come back here. That it still has access to the sun. It has access to trees and flowers and water and the major material frequencies or structures that also occupy our dimension.
Okay.
And
yeah.
They're completely enjoyable at those frequencies. And you still have work to do and you still contribute and you still have a house and you still have people. A lot of your people that have gone before you are going to be there already waiting for you. And they're mostly informed that you're coming over before you get there. So they come to greet you and say, come with us so you don't get lost out there in that world that is not nearly as stable as it is here.
And you're saying that's the death process, though, are the physical body dying?
What is?
Well, to get to that place.
Yeah, you leave here.
Yeah.
In order to go there.
Yeah. No, that's okay. Well, the question Steve had on the chat room there, which you've answered, I think, yourself, he says, does Penny believe in reincarnation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a belief, it's a knowing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I agree. I believe in it too. Now, Jim also has a question here, and we're just watching the time there. Question, does Penny believe we are on a positive timeline? Alternatively, are we creating the future now as we are awakening?
Yes and yes. We are on a positive timeline. And that, I will say this, that we have been turning that corner for the last month, over the month of April. And in my opinion, we have succeeded. Now, just a day or two ago, I happened to get on Kim's site and trying to catch up with what she's been saying and thought, oh, she's right in line with what I'm picking up, which is that we have turned the corner. We just have to maintain now. That timeline is the sowing the seeds of what will become the future. What we're distracted by is all of the stuff that's dying and being torn apart, but we have this amazing future that is out there in front of us. And when I was with the Little Man in Brown Robes back in 1980, 81, I went to that new, that next earth or world that we were living in. And it was absolutely beautiful, absolutely amazing. There were a lot of things that I could see. I went there in 2050, 2080, and 2413. And you could see how things had evolved each time I went from what had been before. And the houses had changed a lot. Technology had changed. People getting together, 2050, there were all kinds of tools and technology, all kinds of ideas, and I'm going to call it appreciations for one another that we don't seem to be feeling yet. But it's coming. It's coming. There was a deep appreciation for other people and the fact that they had survived, that they had chosen to live, and that they were there to help build something new. That was even more pronounced in 2080, and the houses and the groupings of houses were really very different. And by 2413, I describe all that in ropes, so I won't go into it, but the houses were mostly domed. They were, I got to see, because I was an engineer back then, how those houses were built, how they were run, the technology they were using, and a lot of the educational, and there were no jobs. People were working at home. It was just an amazing world. So we're moving right in that direction now.
Okay, yep. So the question I have then for you is, have you picked up anything? You do the cards, the tarot cards, and yep. You tune into things. So have you picked up anything along this timeline that is a game changer or a catalyst in this time period that changes things, ramps it up or speeds things up?
Yeah, actually, a couple things that I think are really, really pertinent. One is that the Ukraine-Russia war, that's a game changer right there. And why is that such a massive game changer? It's because what comes out of that is this realization on the part of people all over the planet that, if I can say it clearly, like I've seen it, that Biden coaxed Putin into attacking, that Putin swallowed that hook, hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
And that is partly because the elites wanted a war. And so now they got their war and they're going to push that war for all they're worth. So, but what comes out of that for the population is the realization that that war is really a war among what I'll call the dinosaurs. That's what the robes call them. The titans, the elites, the very, very powerful elites. It's a war among them for control of the planet. And when people wake up to that and realize that this is just a war between these dinosaur nations, then they're done with it. They go after, that's really the source of World War III, is the anger that the populations have, and they are taking out their governments. And so the game changer started February 24th of 2022. It does not end until roughly 2025, but that it's going to seem like almost continuous, because like the robe said, I was all freaked out when they were showing me this way back in 80. And that, it was like, okay, does that mean that we're going to be taken over by the Russians or the Chinese? And the answer was no, not really. It would be much more accurate to say that the people decide they've had enough and they take over their government. And at the time I thought that that was absolutely impossible. Now I'm looking at that and going, that looks like that's the course that we're going to follow.
It depends. I think it depends on the country, because from where I'm sitting in Ireland, and I think people might on the chat room might agree, I don't know, but where I'm sitting, I can't see that happening in Ireland for a very long time, because there's too many people are comfortable with their lot. And we had a DJ over here in Ireland, Jerry Ryan, and he said Ireland is a country full of NIMBYs. And NIMBY stands for not in my backyard, which means obviously, if it does, as long as it doesn't happen in my backyard, I'm not interested. I'm not getting involved. And unfortunately, this is going to affect everybody, and they just don't realise it yet. And then by then, it's going to be too late. So there needs to be some kind of catalyst or waking up process for these people. And I mean, if you can't see the level of corruption and the dinosaur politics, which I'll call it, because it is, politics is dead. We don't, you know, politicians, forget about it. Governments, they're not needed. We need somebody, obviously we need the country to be administrated, but not the way it's being run at the moment and abused with the level of corruption that's going on at the moment. So that needs to be all sorted.
I think that there's a certain amount of truth in what you said about not in my backyard as far as Ireland is concerned. But what happens over time is that there's some devastating things in terms of climate change, and maybe some stuff coming from the sun as well. And when you, what I saw was that they didn't all go down at one time, but when the major players went down, other countries started saying, hey, how come they don't have to have a government? How come they don't have to have a president or a dictator or a whatever? And so it was kind of like a domino effect, and it moved in a lot of directions. But you're right. Ireland is probably not going to be the first one.
No, definitely not. And you know what? The other concern I have is people like giving their power away, because I can't be bothered, you know, so I let them do everything for me, and or they outsourced the thinking, which happened with COVID. They didn't even want to put the energy and time into doing the research regarding the vaccine. They just said,
I know, that's really sad. Oh my gosh.
I know, that's where, again, it goes back to the psychology and human nature. And, you know, there's givers and takers in the world, you know, takers use less energy, and I can't be bothered. Let that person there, they let them run everything. There's people, and as long as we have people like that who can't be bothered and keep outsourcing it and giving the power away to somebody like, you know, in politics, that needs to change. Again, it has to come back to, no, we want you to be responsible. And stop, you know, because you can blame the politician then. See, there's a victim mentality again. Oh, it wasn't me, it was the politician, you know. And so we people need to step in their own power, and we need to get them to do that. And that's the hard thing.
Yeah, that's true. And I think, you know, I was doing a tarot reading for the U.S., for May. One of the things that came up was this unforeseen catastrophe. And I swear to God that by the time I got done looking at the cards, it was as if we were going to see the end of the United States by the end of May, or maybe by the end of this year, but it starts in May. The end begins in May. And that really is one of the big dominoes that goes down, and that was the breakup, the chaos in the U.S. was astonishing, and that I've seen coming for a long time. But and China does have a little bit of a period there where it thinks it is the king of the mountain, but that doesn't fly either. And that there's been too many people in China that have been used and abused, and I think they're making their big mistake right now in Shanghai I forget what the other city is. There's two or three where they have total lockdown.
Yeah.
And I know some people over there who are caught in that lockdown, and it's not fun.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, again, it's all a kind of game changer. Penny, we've reached that time. A big thank you for coming on. And I will just say that we are kind of looking at America, because I think America is the actual playground for everybody else. So we're kind of watching you guys to see what happens, and that will probably roll out into Europe. So, so all eyes on America. But a big thank you for coming on the show, and cheers for coming on. We got there in the end regarding the technology anyway. And so before I let you go, do you want to give out all your details there where people can find you and they can check up your podcast and all that?
Yeah, sure. If you go to my website, you can get copies of my books. There are digital copies. And the website is www.pennykelly.com, or same place as www.consciousnessonfire.com. And then I have a Patreon channel. Just type in Patreon/Penny Kelly. A lot of my videos and stuff are on Patreon, they're on YouTube, they're on BitChute, they're on Odyssey, and then they're on several podcasts as well, Spotify, Apple, Google. And then my books, my physical books, are on Amazon. So that's probably it in a nutshell.
Brilliant stuff. All right, Penny, just stay with me there for a minute. We're going to go off to a musical break, and we'll be back after this.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
There you go, the song Complicated by Avril Lavigne. And that's a special request for the Irish government. Why do you have to make it so complicated when it's so much easier to do things if you do it naturally? But then again, the ego kicks in. And we think as human beings that we can do everything better than nature. So there you go. So that was Penny Kelly. Fantastic having Penny on. Pity about the audio. Sorry at the start. We had a bit of a delay and an issue with the audio there. So it wasn't the best audio quality, I'm afraid. But we kind of got through it and we heard it. And that's that was great. So again, maybe in a few months' time, I'll get Penny on again and we'll have a chat with her and we'll have a catch up and find out what's going on. Right, so there you go. So good information there from Penny. There's so much going on at the moment. As I said earlier on, the human frequency is kind of off the charts. Yesterday especially, big whiteout, and today it's going again. I'm sure everybody can feel it. But look, there's one thing I will say about the ascension symptoms, as people call it. Right, it's very easy for people to turn around and go, I have an aching pain or I'm sore. Oh, that's just an ascension symptom. No, don't just assume that is. If you have an ache or pain or you're sore or something, go and get it checked out. Get an opinion from a doctor. You don't have to follow up on it, but get a second opinion, okay? But because we can be very easy pass things off from a spiritual point of view and go, oh yeah, it's ascension symptom. It'll go away in a few days' time. And it might not be. So I would just say, you know, just be aware of that. Go and get it checked out, and just in case. And if it's just, you know, something very simple and it does go away after a couple of days, then that's fine. But it's too easy to pass it off. Now, I know the medical system is not the best system in the world. We have 19th century medicine and God knows what else that's going on. But like, there's a few people I know that have been in the hospitals and they've been treated pretty much okay. So I think the doctors are beginning to realize now what I was told by a person there the other night. I was speaking to them, and this person was actually in hospital, and the doctor asked her, are you vaccinated? And she said no, and the doctor went, okay. And it's kind of acknowledgement without acknowledgement, saying okay, because we know what's going on but we can't say. So, and that's good. Now, also, there's a story that's kicking around as well. I don't know whether, if everybody's seen this. Somebody went to get a blood test, went to the doctor and said, oh, we have to get a blood test. And they then recommended to the person that they get an AIDS test as well with the blood. And the person said, well, I think the doctor asked them if they're vaccinated. And they go, no, I'm not vaccinated. And then the doctor said, oh, that's okay, then you don't need to get the AIDS test. Now, why would the doctor turn around and say to somebody that you need to get an AIDS test, and then obviously when he found out that you weren't vaccinated, that don't bother with it, you're okay? So there's a lot of concerns about what's in the vaccine. So I think people, again, need to do the research and check into it. And, maybe they'll try and push out more boosters. I don't know. It's the world's kind of mad place at the moment with everything that's going on. And it was mentioned earlier on in the chat room, and I know, I understand where you're coming from. The individual mentioned about, I don't really do a lot of Irish news or talk about the Irish problems. But the thing is that I don't really want to talk too much about a problem unless we have some kind of solution, really. Because we all know, we do all know what the problems are. We see it on a daily basis and we hear about it from, on social media and everything else in the news. And I wouldn't like to be the one to come on and do a show and then dump all that, here's all the problems, negative energy, good night, and then close down and that's it with no solutions. So, the deal would be, yes, we'll talk about a problem, but there has to be a solution to it to talk about it. And if we can do that, then I'd be up for doing that. But I'm just not going to talk about loads of problems and then just dump it on people who are listening to the show and then sign off. I don't have an interest in doing that. That's not fair to do that. So I'm happy to talk or get somebody on who will talk about the Irish side of things, but we need to talk about solutions as well, if we can. Okay, now, my guest on the show next week is a new guest I haven't had on before. It's a lady called Lynn Rondell. She's a clairvoyant healer. And she hasn't been on the show before, but her information is quite interesting. There's one or two things that is a bit kind of out there, which I'd kind of go, no, I'm not really sure about that. But the majority of the other stuff seems to be pretty good, and she's tuning into the energies and stuff like that. So I asked her to come on the show, and she agreed, so she's going to be on next week. We'll have a chat with Lynn and see what's going on and see what energy she's picking up on and any changes that's going on, because we are feeling something. There's a lot going on and the sun is going nuts at the moment. So maybe there is going to be a big change. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Anyway, for myself, thanks for everybody tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks to everybody on the chat and your questions on the chat. Much appreciated. And we'll see you next week. So for myself, Alan James and Circle of White Light, take it easy. Have a great week. Hope the weather's good for everybody. It wasn't a bad day today, actually. It was nice. The sun's out today. So take it easy. Have a good week. And we'll talk to you next week. Take care and bye-bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on CircleOfWhiteLight.com. Focusing on solutions and thinking different.